Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. Greetings. Good to see you all. Welcome, Eileen. Good to see you. And as we turn to the Word of God, if you could please turn with me to Jeremiah, Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and from verse 7 to 10. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. I'll read it for you from verse 7 onwards. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Let's also turn to the book of Ezekiel, just a few chapters over, to Ezekiel, chapter 36, and verse 26. Ezekiel, chapter 36, and verse 25 onwards I read, Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Let us pray. Most loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for giving us this wonderful Lord's Day, the resurrected day, and gathering us in thy precious name. Father, I pray for thy precious word, and I pray for thy mercy upon thy servant, that help me to divide thy word in simplicity and clarity. And Lord, we may take something new afresh, and we may have a surrendered heart, a heart loyal to you. And in the coming days, for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we look at these two portions of the Old Testament, Brother Nagaraj was bringing from a Deuteronomy a thought, a promise to the people not to defile my land. That was thousands of years before we read this particular portion. There were two prophets we read. Jeremiah was a prophet. He was called a weeping prophet who wept and shared the word, the message of God. Ezekiel was also a contemporary prophet. This morning the Lord has laid upon me to share a thought about having a loyal, surrendered heart. As we read from Jeremiah 17, verse 10 says, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. As you read Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 1, you get a glimpse of the time Jeremiah was speaking this message of God. Jeremiah 17, 1 says, The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. And with the point of a diamond, it is graven upon the table of the heart, upon the horns of the altar. We read in verse 5, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in a man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. as you see the sins of Judah graven with an iron sharp, like a sharp iron. It's deep in the heart. There were many prophets who came. Just a few years ago, Isaiah was there. We have Jeremiah here, Ezekiel, in Obadiah, Habakkuk. They're all around that time. The Lord has sent them that the people of God may repent, may set their hearts right. But here you see they continue to sin. As you read the book of Jeremiah, you see it is a so sad time. He weeps and he laments, calling the people. It was a time of idolatry. There was only one God. God said, I am the one. I am that I am. But the land was filled with idols. Not only idols, they were offering children sacrifice. The sacrifices of children were offered at these times. Time after time, they did not turn. As you read from Jeremiah 17, you read two types of people. One who will trust in the Lord. One who trusted in the flesh, in the man, in their wealth, in their idols. The promise given, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Indeed, brothers and sisters, how blessing, even this morning, to be with among the presence of God, among the presence of God's people. It is a rich blessing. There are many people, as Matthew brought, we could be in a park riding a bicycle, but nothing like just enjoying the presence of God in our life. Nothing like having a hope in the hearts. Nothing like knowing a God who can save, who can lead, who can give us a hope. It is a blessing. In this particular portion, the Lord says, I will search the heart. God has created us. He's given us eyes, nose, ears. But one part of the body is written numerous times, and that is called heart. You want to guess how many times it's written in the Word of God? About 826 times it's written heart in the Bible, the Word of God. But when I ask you about heart, if anybody asks you what is a heart, you can just touch it and it beats. And it's beating about 72 beats about a minute, right? It's pumping blood, right? Heart is pumping blood. It pumps about 5 liters of blood per minute. It's the last thing, the very first thing we do is the breath, the heart begins. The last thing happens on this planet Earth when we finish this race is the heartbeat stops, right? But when we think about heart in the Bible, it is not speaking about a scientific heart. It's not speaking about how your heart is functioning. It's speaking about your spiritual aspect, right? There are many things happening in your heart. There are emotions in your heart, right? You have feelings. Today you may be very happy. You're happy in your heart. Somewhere you feel. Sometimes you're fearful, you hold your heart, right? You see some insect or cockroach, you just get fearful. You're fearful in your heart. You want to do something. You have the willpower in your heart. The will, the drive. It's basically your nature, right? Sometimes in the context of the Bible sometimes speaks about your soul as a heart. It speaks about your inner man as heart. That is the context. When you read many portions in the Bible, when the Lord speaks about heart, the Lord searcheth the heart. In Psalm 44, you read, verse 21, the Lord knows the secret of your heart. He knows the secret of your heart. He knows everybody's heart this morning. He can see. He has the eyes to see the heart. As we talk about the God who created me and you with the heart, Do you think God has a heart? As, I mean, we do not know an invisible God. But do you think a God has a heart? If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35. We see that God says these words to Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35, I read, "And I'll raise me up a faithful priest, and that shall do according to that which is in my heart. And in my mind I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever." This prophecy was spoken by God when Eli, the priest, was judged, and God will raise. What does the Lord say? The Lord says, which is in my heart. If you turn to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6, you read that when God saw there were none righteous since Adam was created, and you see these words, there was only one man, Noah, and his eight family. And these are the words the Lord says in verse 6. "It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart." It grieved him at his heart. Whenever, brothers and sisters, when we fail to do the things of God, that's why the word of God says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When we grieve the Lord, it grieves his heart. One thing, as I was meditating, what does the Lord wants from this heart? God created us in his likeness. What is that God wants from you and from me, from this heart? In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, we see, "Love the Lord with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind." That you love with this heart, with all from your mind, your strength, everything from your heart, that you may love God. You may experience the love of God. You may share the love of God from your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 says like this. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Now Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." To fear, to obey, to keep his commandments, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Just one thing the Lord desired, that he may share his love to humankind, his creation. When you think about the very first man God created, his name was Adam and Eve. God created, in Colossians 1:16 says, the invisible God created all things for him. It was created by him and for him. It was created for him. We were created for the Creator, for him. In Revelations 4:11 says, we have been created for thy pleasure. We sing that song, and for thy pleasure, and for thy glory, we have been created. That is the purpose. When you look at why did God create you, he created for his pleasure. He created for him that he may share the love. He may take you from glory to glory. There are many other perspectives when you look at God. When you think about how God created us, when we think about when God has a heart, Genesis 1:27 says that God created us in his image, own image. This morning you are here, not just because you want to come on a Sunday morning, not just because a ritual. It'll be very sad if you came for that reason. It is by your own free will. It is owned by your own choice to worship God, to worship and honor God. Free will is one thing which is very difficult to understand. Adam had a free will, right? God gave him everything to enjoy the creation. I do not know how many, pets he had. He had to name all of them, the lions, the tiger, the fishes, there's so many animals God created which currently do not exist, I believe. And he was an intellectual man. He experienced the perfect heart, right? There was a time in this history where God gave a heart which was perfect. He created us imperfect. There was no sin. There was only one commandment, only one law. Do not eat the fruit of knowledge. The day you shall eat, you shall surely die. You may have many questions. Why, Lord, you put that? Why, Lord? It is always the intent of the Lord. I, the Lord, search the heart. Faith without tested cannot be trusted. God wants to see what's in our hearts. God wanted to see what's in Adam's heart. Just one thought in Adam, one thought in Eve to become like God. The very first sin, Bible says, which came is pride. Pride in angel, pride in fallen mankind. As you look at the Old Testament, as we read, God created us, expected us from this flesh, this life, to bring righteousness, to live righteously. Micah 6:8 says, "What does the Lord require of thee? To be just, have mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord." To walk with him, to obey with him. But as we come to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, we can examine our hearts. As Jeremiah writes, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Look at the words the Lord used. This is the condition of the heart today. Deceitful, wicked. That is my heart. That is your heart. Is there anyone here who can say, "I have a perfect heart"? None. None could keep the law. We could have even just failed in the very first one. "Thou shalt not covet," one of those. "Thou shalt love the Lord all your heart." None could keep the commandments. You may think, "I'm not a murderer." But in God's perspective, Jesus said, if you hate someone, if you hate your brother or sister, you're a murderer in the sight of God. All of us have failed. All come short of the glory of God. None could keep. When I look at my heart, who could have changed my heart? Who could change your heart? In Mark's Gospel chapter 7, Mark's Gospel chapter 7, 21 to 23, it says like this, "For from within," this was when the Pharisees wanted to wash their hands and do everything to eat properly and things like that. And the Lord said, "What you eat, it doesn't matter. What comes out of your mouth does matter. What comes out of your mouth comes from the heart." And these are the words the Lord says in verse 23, "That cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. From within one, out of the heart, man proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lavishness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from them within and defile the man." This morning we read, "Do not defile the land." What defiles us? It is our own choices. If it is on our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your hearts, out of it comes the issues of life." The choices Adam made He had to deal with the issues. The choices anybody makes, there are consequences with the choices. The choices David made, there were consequences. We look at, as we turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, we are looking at one of the glorious promises. This is a prophecy written about 2550 BC. So both the context, just in the times when we read about Daniel was to be born 50 years later, there's Jeremiah, Josiah, and that's the time the Lord gives, just about 500 years before our Lord Jesus is coming. And you read this glorious prophecy in verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of the flesh, and I'll give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. A new heart. Did anyone had a big surgery to have a transformed heart? Is that what the Lord's saying? A new heart, a new spirit. Jesus, as we speak, our Lord is the only one who can change your heart and my heart. It is only His Spirit which can transform me day by day. I will take away your stony heart. The stony heart speaks about a stubborn heart. A heart that sometimes when we hear, but we do not want to do it. We see that in little children at times. As a parent, you tell them to do it, and they don't want to do it. They want to do their own ways. A stubborn heart, a stony heart, refuse to follow the Lord. Rebellious. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12 says like this. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12 says, you have made their hearts as an adamant stone, like a diamond stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts have sent in the spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Their hearts were stiff-necked, we read. Hard-hearted. Many times God speaks to us. Even to believers, even to children of God. But God has given now a heart of flesh. A new heart I will give you, says the Lord, 2,550 years around. I was just thinking, what a great way the Lord, a human mankind could not keep the laws and commandments. None of us could do. Our hearts are deceitful. Wicked heart. God Himself sent His only begotten Son. Lord came to this earth to change us, to transform us to the image of His Son. John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 3, we all know, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except you being born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. We read in that chapter, that which is born of flesh is of flesh. That which is born of spirit is of spirit. John 1:13 says, we turn to John chapter 1 and verse 13 says like this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It has been born from above, born by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13 we read, the day you believed the gospel of truth, when you repented and you accepted Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13 that you are sealed by the Spirit of the living God. And it says you are sealed until redemption, Until redemption, we are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit which dwells in your heart. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, we read about a glimpse of Moses' story. And as we come to the end of the chapter, we see, "But we all with open face beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord." We all know the story of Moses on Mount Sinai, spending over 8 years of age, about 40 days with the Lord. He came down from the mountain. None could see him. Moses had to put a veil. What do you think, brothers? Why did Moses been transformed? What happened to Moses? Moses was transformed because he was in the presence of God. When I and you are in the presence of God, when God is transforming into his likeness, we're all being transformed, as we read, from glory to glory. We can only think a glimpse of what we will be like. Think about a millennium, the time you're going to live. Your soul is going to live forever in 1,000 years with the Lord, with this new heart, new spirit. New heavens and new earth, glory to glory, age to age. Eyes have never seen, ears have never heard. None of us can describe what God has stored for each one of us. I've gone to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back for you. Romans 8:29 declares, "Whom he predestined to be transformed to the image of his Son." That is the whole goal we are here. One of the main goals, that I and you can be transformed to the image of his Son. A new heart. A heart of flesh. A new heart which is responsive to the love of God. Romans 5:5 says that God's love is poured in your heart, in my heart. Love of God, which I never experienced until I and you were born again, from born of spirit. There's no meaning if you do not know what Jesus did for you, as how much God loved you. I was born in a Christian family, but I never experienced the love of God until I surrendered my heart to the living God, the Savior, to transform me, to live in my heart. A new heart longs for God. We long for... Why do we study the Word every day? Why do we look for Word? Why do we look for promises? Why do we look to hear His voice? A new heart, a new spirit in you. A heart which has been given to us, the Spirit been given to us to keep His commandments. That which He had hoped in Adam, which could not. Now the Lord has sent us a helper. Jesus said, "I'll be sending you a helper, a comforter. The Holy Spirit will glorify about Him. He shall continue to teach us." No more you need to go to a Bible college or become a theologian. It's good if you wish to study. The Holy Spirit will teach you as you just meditate on the Word. He will provide. He can speak. He can teach. That's what Ezekiel promised. The law has been written in your hearts and in your minds. A common man, a fisherman, a tax collector could speak about the glorious things, revelation of God. As we look at our Christian life, brothers and sisters, as we come to this promise, as we've been the witnesses of this promise, of having a new heart, a new spirit, Christian life is a transformed life. It is a transformation of life. I still have my old man. You still have your old man every day. God has promised us a new nature. I have a new nature, a new man. We need to put on new man every single day. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Galatians 2:22 says, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live now is by faith, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. This should be our motto every morning, every night. I have been crucified with Christ. It is sad when the old man comes up in my life. It is sad when we are old life, which is there. But again, I call upon the grace of God. Thank God, if God had not changed my heart, that heart wouldn't have been changed. That life wouldn't have been changed. As we look at the Lord said, I search the heart. The Lord is looking for a loyal heart. He's looking for a surrendered heart. He's looking for a humble heart. When I was looking at this portion on a surrendered heart, one word came where many people called upon the Lord when God called them. And that word was, here I am. You read this particular verse, here I am. And there were many people in Old Testaments when God called them to follow them or to do something, that's the word they said, here I am. You read it in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. You all know the story of Abraham. He was about 114 or 15 years of age when you read the story. And probably Isaac about a teenager boy. And God says, God calls Abraham, Abraham. And you see Abraham's response, here I am. The very first verse on Genesis 22:1. God called Abraham on that day to give your son whom you love. That's the verse. Give back your son, Isaac, whom you loved. Abraham loved Isaac very much. He was a promised child, born at the age of 100 years. I do not know how Abraham felt. God said, the verse says, God wanted to test Abraham what was in his heart. We see Abraham was indeed a father of faith. Giving up what you love. God may ask you to give up what you love the most. It's the heart of God that God be first in your heart, in my heart. God is first above anything else. For Abraham, God had to be first, and he had to declare it in actions. And you all know, he called it offering Isaac as a worship. And he did it in all faithfulness, all diligence. He woke up early. We won't go into that story. But the thought is, a surrendered heart is able to give what God asks us to do. It could be a sacrificial time. It could be something you love most. There's something which takes place with God. Abraham was able to do it. A surrendered heart. The next time you hear about here I am, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, we read a few portions today about Moses. Moses was 80 years of age. He was having his retired life on Mount Horeb. He thought he's come to the end of his life. And God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. A bush burning, but it wasn't consumed. And we read those verses as we turn to Exodus chapter 3, and it says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight with thy bush. Is why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw, he turned aside, God called him in the midst of the bush, and Moses said, here am I. That turn to see the burning bush. Moses had a divine experience. He experienced the holy presence of God.
He experienced the place where he's standing. He's a holy God. God shared with him that day to Moses, I'm going to deliver the people of Israel from the land of Egypt. I do not know what Moses felt, why the Lord is sharing with me those words. But when God said, I'm sending you, Moses, to deliver them, I'm sure Moses was puzzled. He did have initial reluctance, but when you read the story of Moses, we read about Moses as one of the great servants in the house of God. We read that in Hebrews. A humble servant. He became a servant. He surrendered to this task, this calling. Not only just half-heartedness. You see a point where Moses prays for Israel, blot me off instead of Israel. That to the extent God gave the burden to Moses. We may be here, brothers and sisters, enjoying the goodness of Lord in Australia, in the land, like a milk and honey. But you may be called one day to go to a place where you do not want to go, to serve the Lord. You may be called to places like missionaries. We pray that God may raise the missionaries. Are we ready to go? Like Moses did. Moses had a surrendered heart. Here I am. Use me, Lord. And the Lord used Moses at the age of 8 years. That calling may come at any part of your time. You may be young, you may be old. Moses was an old man, and God still used him. A surrendered heart. There you see a young boy, Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4, you know the story of Hannah, who was barren for many years. She prayed and she made an oath that I will give back the child. It was Hannah who made the commitment, not the Samuel. But Samuel was offered in the temple to serve. And there you see the voice of calling, Samuel, Samuel, many times. And you read that Samuel respond, here am I. Here am I. Samuel, God spoke to Samuel that day, the judgment which was coming to Eli, very difficult to share about a master. And Samuel was chosen to be a great prophet. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, we read this Isaiah book many times looking at the Old Testament prophets about Lord Jesus. Isaiah was called in chapter 6. He was taken in a vision and he saw the glory of God. And we read, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And Isaiah was said to be a messenger. Who shall go to be a messenger of God? Who shall declare the messages of God? Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I. Brothers and sisters, surrendered heart is the heart which is able to give God the first place. As Abraham was able to give the best. As Moses was able to give at his old age, the life left for the Lord. Isaiah, we see a messenger of God. Samuel, a young child. Here am I. If God is calling you, what is your response? All we could say is, here am I. Use me, Lord. This is what the Lord gives us. Our Lord who came down to this earth. In Luke's Gospel chapter 22. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. And verse 42. We remembered the Lord this morning as we took part in the emblems. Brother reminded us of that pain, of the agony which he would go. Did you think Jesus did not know the cost of the very next morning? How much pain he would go through? I do not know what I would go through tomorrow, but Lord knew every single thing. He knew before even Nathaniel came and met him. He knew everything. He knew the nails, how much sharp would be the nails. He knew the nails which go to his foot, the hands. He knew the thorns. He knew the exact cost. He knew the number of hours he will be on the cross. Everything he knew. And this is the submission he makes to the Father in verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We pray, brothers and sisters, may we have this mind of Christ, the humble heart, the meek heart, the heart which is ready for the Lord to mold, to give the time, the energy to love the Lord all our heart. Jesus was able to submit to the will of the Father. As we look into these passages about the heart, brothers and sisters, from Jeremiah and Ezekiel, this morning we are called Christians. Christians was a word used in Book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. That was the first time the disciples of Lord Jesus Christ were called Christians. These are the words the Lord spoke in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 24. It says like this. Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 24, says like this. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 16 says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father or mother, and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not here bear the cross and come after me cannot be my disciples." Brothers and sisters, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. A true meaning of what is called to be a disciple, a follower, a Christian. If anybody wants to follow me, deny yourself, carry the cross, and follow me. The word disciples comes from a Greek word. It is mathetes, which means it's more than a student. It's more than a learner. Disciple is a follower of the master, a follower. As we read, Christians, disciples were first called Christians. In Book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26, the Christians who belongs to the Christ. We belong to Christ. We've been called to follow. As we look at the Lord's heart, Lord is searching for a heart. Lord is looking for a surrendered heart. Lord is looking, as you read in 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. Please turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. And verse 9 and 10 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." These are the words of the Lord spoken when King Asa failed. The eyes of the Lord runs to and fro. What is the Lord looking for? A perfect heart. Some of your verses says a loyal heart. The eyes of the Lord is looking for a perfect, loyal heart. That remains the same, brothers and sisters. God's heart, Old Testament or New Testament. I, the Lord, search the hearts. I, the Lord, look for the hearts. God knew when you believed in your heart. God knew when you believed in your heart of faith, when the righteousness God declared to you, you are righteous. God knew our hearts. God knows the secret of hearts. One thing we look on this Christendom, Christians, we have been asked to live this life, a surrendered heart, a victorious heart. But at times we see Christians living a defeated life, a life which is average, mediocre life, not to the standards where the Lord has asked me to be standing. We may see outwardly we may be fine, but inwardly not a changed heart, not a transformed heart, a plastic Christian. We can all wonder why. I can wonder at times why I have failed the Lord. Why I have not been loyal to the Lord. Why myself not been perfect to the Lord. The Lord reminds me it is because I have not surrendered fully to the Lord. Like Abraham surrendered, I am he. I'm here to give the best, to give the love. At times where things are holding back, the old ways, the old man is still there holding. We're not able to give up. Egypt reminds that it was a bondage for Israel. They saw the glory. They saw the waters divided. It took only 3 days. You read in Numbers, they remembered the onions, the garlic, the Egypt was good. The old man, we need to let the old man go. Battling with sin, we'll all battle the old man. We'll be, when we see him, we shall be like him. There'll be a day when we'll live in a place where there's no sin. Until then, every time I endure battle, a crucified life, a life in Christ, to be dead and to be living in Christ, God receives pleasure. God looks at the heart. God looks at a loyal heart, a faithful heart, a surrendered heart. This is the prayer, brothers and sisters, for myself and to us, that we may, the remaining time, we may have a surrendered heart, a heart full of love for God. A humble heart. We may be in areas, we may have to set things right. Maybe just not walk away, taking this just one more word, one more Sunday. If there's anything Lord speaking, we sing that song, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. I will love and I trust him. In his presence, daily live. That be our motto. All to Jesus, I surrender. The time, the energy, availability, ourself, our old ways, the sins we battle, everything. Lord, help me. Help me in the areas. And Jeremiah 17:7-8, as I finish, as we began this portion, blessed is the man who trusted, whose the hope is the Lord. And the Lord gives a promise in that verse, as we read in verse 9, to the one who is trusting in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding the fruit. God does not promise that you won't have trials. God does not promise he doesn't have tribulation. In this life, you will have trials and tribulation. But blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. You will experience grace, peace. You will always have the provision of God. You'll be like the watered garden who can bear fruit at all seasons. May this be a prayer and blessing in all our lives, that we may be fruitful in all seasons. Let us pray. Most gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for giving us this precious time to study thy word. Father, if there's anybody here, Lord, you have spoken in any, Lord, as for the word, to have a loyal heart, to have a surrendered heart, to have a heart for you full of love. Father, if there's anybody here, Lord, who need to set things right in the areas, Lord, where they haven't surrendered. Father, I pray, Lord, that we may make a commitment, a dedication, Lord, that we may serve you all our heart. We may trust you all our heart and love you all our heart and all our strength. Father, we pray for your blessing upon this word and lead us that we may have a victorious life. As you have promised, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And ask your blessing upon this word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.